Copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
What I love to do, as well as going around and speaking to students about Jesus, speaking in church-wide missions about Jesus, I also like to produce evangelistic resources for the church. And one of the reasons that I do that is just really, as we think about these questions, like we've just been thinking about, does religion cause all war? Now, you can argue back and forth, but something I quite like to do is ask the non-Christian, what percentage of wars do you think are actually caused by religion? And they guess somewhere in the region of 98-99%. And then I say, would it surprise you to learn that 7% of all religions, of all wars are caused by religion? Philip and Axelrod's Encyclopedia of All Wars chronicles about 1,200 different battles. And they reckon that about 123 have religion at their heart. Less than half of those are Christianity. There's no prizes for guessing what the winner of that particular religious title is. So I just find that actually just show them a graph, show them something, is very important in winning hearts. But sometimes as evangelicals, we're not very good at the visual side of things. And so I think that part of my ministry is trying to come up with interesting visual ways and creative ways of telling the gospel. And if we haven't got any sound, I'm not going to be able to show you any of this. But, okay. Yes, this is all about the joys of great presentation skills in evangelism. So, I mean, one way you can deal with the radical question is with a 20-minute talk, and a 20-minute talk is great. I believe in proclamation evangelism. That's what I spend most of my time doing. But the other day, I came up with this as a poem to hopefully get it across, this same issue of how do you deal with this radicalism issue in rhyming couplets. So let's give it a go.
Radical to the root, in pursuit of the undiluted absolute, resolute and extreme, hot-blooded, heart-pumping, eyes agleam. You could be radical about a team, a scheme, a regime, a pipe dream. It's acute devotion set in motion, alarming all the mild mainstream.
We need to deal with the extremism.
So who is extreme, do you suppose? Just Jihadi Joes, just ISIS and all those?
Islamic militants continue to capture new territory.
Authorities believe more than 1,000 people could be tempted into terrorism.
You ain't no Muslim, bro!
That view's unstable. To me, any are able to wear the radical label. Many live for fundamentals. Core essentials always central. Just because they're not the meanest doesn't mean they're not extremist. Extremely what? That's the question. Because nothing's wrong with strong expression. Why the will towards suppression? Love itself is pure obsession. What is radical, would you say? The gunman?
We received a call of a shooting that had occurred.
Or those who pray.
Not in the morning, we need you to come now.
The killer.
A one-room Amish schoolhouse was the site of just a horrifying scene.
Or Grace Revere.
You know, my world was shattering around me. I saw some Amish men coming down the street. They had forgiven Charlie, and they were extending grace and compassion over our family.
The shooter.
One of the largest mass shootings in American history.
Or the human shield.
He just put his body in front of mine, and he actually got shot.
There's a breed of radical we need who bleeds for rivals, refuses reprisals, forgoes the tribal, surrenders survival to end the spiral. A radical dies in the name of their cause, but these ones say, my life for yours. These are extremists with unclenched fists and arms unfurled, a radical movement to conquer the world. It begins with a king made weak, who stoops to the meek, who washes our feet, who turns his cheek, who came to speak peace to the poor, poured out to the thirsty, absorbing our war and bleeding out mercy. With arms nailed open, broken, choking, and there in death, with expiring breath, forgiveness spoken. Here's the extremist supreme streamed from above, a furious flow of fanatical love. It can't be contained. It won't be restrained. He will not be tamed. So be extreme. Hot-blooded, heart-pumping, eyes agleam. Esteem this cause, my life for yours. Forsake the mild mainstream and follow the source above. For the sake of love, become fanatical. Pray God, make me a Jesus radical.
But, you know, like I say, you can give a 20-minute talk on that, or you can condense it. And what I find is, these days, people have such low attention spans, and where are people? Where is their third space? You know, we think about where we live, we think about where we work. Where's our third space, where we perhaps belong to a sports team, a political movement, whatever? Actually, most people's third space now is Facebook, right? And here's a statistic. I came up with some stats here. I got this infographic last year. These stats have doubled since last year. 4 billion videos are viewed every day on YouTube. Now 8 billion videos are viewed on Facebook every day. 8 billion videos, okay? The amount of stuff that's just being uploaded and then viewed online is just phenomenal. Over 800 million unique users visit YouTube each month. It's now about 1.4 billion. Just millions of channel subscriptions. If someone is under 35, they're much more likely to, they will watch more YouTube than they watch TV, which is extraordinary. In days gone by, we might have spent a lot of money on getting televangelists up there, and it would cost millions and millions of dollars, and they would have to spend all their time saying, please sow into my ministry, and we know where all that left us. But today, anyone can have a YouTube channel. It takes nothing. And actually, just if you've got, I see you've got smartphones. You know, you have all the technology you need in order to do this stuff, and actually, especially under 35s, they don't need it to be polished, okay? You can just do a selfie video. Tell them your thoughts for 3 minutes. Upload it and see what happens. It's an incredible way of reaching different people. I was going to show you another video, but I won't. I'll just show you. We came out with an Easter video. So usually for the seasons, we come up with, you know, there's a Halloween video. There's a number of different Easter videos, a couple of different Christmas videos. Valentine's Day videos. So for the different festivals that come up in the year, we try and come up with video content, 3 minutes, get the gospel down, get it out there in an attractive format, and kind of social media works really the way the gospel is meant to work, that actually as we share with Christians, it's Christians who should get excited about the gospel, and then from the overflow of their hearts, their mouths speak. And actually, that is precisely how social media works. What you like, you share. So the first audience for all our videos is Christians, but then we want to tap into their networks of hundreds and thousands of different friends that they have online. So really, that's a huge mission field. And if we're spending so much time online, how much time are we thinking about our witness online? It can be very difficult to be a Christian online and to make a distinctive witness. You can think hard about your bio and how you describe yourself. But in the content of the stuff that we share, are we distinctively a voice for Christ on social media? And part of the problem with that is that we don't have very much good content to share. And so Christians end up sharing cat videos. Millions and millions of cat videos when we believe in the Savior of the world. So what we want to do is just produce some high quality, shareable gospel content. And we did an Easter video just this last Easter. I got an email from a guy in the States, and he said he was at the end of himself, thinking about killing himself. He cried out to God and said, if you're there, will you show me yourself? And he decided, what should I do next? I should Google, right? That's what the world thinks. If you want to find out about anything, you Google. It is true. This is how people are searching. They are searching online spiritually as well. I don't know how he found our videos. We're not particularly search engine optimized very well. He came across our video, gave his life to Christ, then came across our other daily, you know, Bible videos. He's now going to a church in Utah. He started going to a Mormon church. We got him out of that. And, this is the danger of online disembodied evangelism, as you can't really like take him by the scruff of the neck. But he's now going to a Bible-believing church in Utah. And these are some of the ways that we can spread the gospel with this social media. But I do think we need to have a different view. Yeah, I saw that. Thank you. We do need a different view, I think, as evangelicals. Here are four things that I think we think of as opposites. And they really actually go together. While ever we think they're opposites, we'll never be creative and we'll never use this new media in a faithful gospel evangelistic way. The first thing is we think of truth and beauty as opposites. And we think of, to the degree that we are truthful, we're going to be ugly. And to the degree that we're beautiful, we're going to be untruthful. And I don't know where we've got that idea from. Certainly not the scriptures. Certainly not the unsearchable riches of Christ, who is more precious than rubies. This idea, and yet it is rampant within evangelicalism. We think that the truth is the cold, hard truth. And if you're a person of truth, you tell it like it is, you don't sugarcoat it, and it's going to be ugly. I had a guy write to me, a nice guy at a Bible college, and he said, "I like your videos because you tread that tightrope between truth and beauty." It's like, what? You've got to think the gospel is very ugly to believe that. I have no truck with this. If you really think that to the degree that you're truthful to the gospel, you're jettisoning beauty, like you must have an ugly gospel. You must really have an ugly gospel. We don't have an ugly gospel. We've got a beautiful gospel. The deeper we go with it, the more beautiful that it is. Word and image, where people are the word, where people are the book. Absolutely. But have you read the book? Because there are many different genres in this book, and they are not all Pauline epistles. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that the biggest book is a book of songs? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that there's all kinds of literature and poetry, and that even the people of the word, these prophets, so often they are visual representations of their message. Just think of Isaiah or Ezekiel especially. I mean, my goodness. Here are some visual representations of their own truths. Think of the parables of Jesus. Think of the book of Revelation, for goodness sakes, okay? Because we are people of the word, we are also people of image. And our images always, yes, want to be proclaiming the truth of Christ from Scripture, but we're not talking about opposites here. And so it's not a trade-off between truth and beauty, not a trade-off between word and image. It's not a trade-off between being creative and being faithful. And again, I get so many people who say, "Ah, yes, the big trick with getting out there in the media is treading that balance, the fine balance between creativity and faithfulness." Whereas I truly believe the deeper we go with the gospel, the more it will inspire us to get out there and proclaim Jesus in different and creative ways. My big thing is, don't look out into the culture and see, "Oh, the culture is quite interested in this. Let me see if I can make some kind of tenuous link right back to the gospel." My big thing is, just go deep with Jesus in the scriptures. Go deep with these images that the scriptures give you. And then you will look at the culture with different eyes and you will have something interesting to say. So I didn't begin my radical poem by thinking about radicalism. I actually began by thinking about Christ and began by thinking about, here is quite an extreme example of faithful love. And then you look with those goggles out in the world and you think, oh, actually, when the world thinks radical, it always thinks of the bomber. Let's try and, because we're faithful to the gospel, be creative in the way that we express it. But again, it's not a trade-off. And then finally, theology and mission. Again, we make these two into complete opposites, don't we? We make these, the evangelist is usually the person who like refuses to go into the library and read a book, and we just want to get out there and shoot our mouths off, don't we? We all want to do that. I remember I used to go out on a street preaching team in London, and a guy who was a good friend of mine heard what I was saying, and he said, "Actually, there's a theology course on a Thursday night at the same time. Would you like to come to the theology course? And I still remember saying to him, I don't need a theology course. I know the gospel. These people don't know the gospel. I need to be teaching these people the gospel. And he kept persisting with me, and he said, maybe you don't know the gospel the way you think you do. And after I got over being incredibly offended, I then went along to this Thursday night course, and every single week I was thinking, I don't know the gospel. I don't know it. I do and I don't. And it's the same today. 16 years later, it's the same today. Do I know the gospel? Yes. Could I know it better? You betcha. And will going more deeply into theology help you in your mission? It's got to, because it's a missional gospel that we're going deeply into. And so again, the way to be creative and to express yourself in all these things, you know, you could go online and you could search for illustrations for all your talks, couldn't you? And that has a certain value. But if you're on your knees, poring over the text, thinking deeply about the gospel, that's the way through. That's the way to make the connection. It starts with the theology and it leads out into the mission. But if we are people of truth, word, if we're people of faithfulness and theology, then that will send us out into being a creative people in different ways. And I think my time's up.